think it's there. You good?
Yeah, okay, great. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yamach Sima Tova. I want to discuss this morning the core of Slichos. The saying of Slichos is something very close to my heart. We're all familiar with the Slichos that we say leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And we're familiar with the Slichos that we say from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. On Yom Kippur itself, everyone says Slichos Kol Nidrei Night. Everyone says Slichos at Ne'ilah. But I began to say it's close to my heart because the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, was insistent on us saying Slichos during Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha as well. And when I was a student in Yeshiva, the student organization, in consultation with the Rav, Xeroxed pages of Slichos, and everybody stood, in addition to the Machzer, they had a pamphlet that had various pages of Slichos that we would say. When I came to my shul in Bergenfield, so I also took the Rav very seriously, so I also had a pamphlet that we would insert in the davening in the Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha. I had wonderful Malabatim. Most Rabbanim would not get away with inserting more things to say on Yom Kippur, certainly when it cuts down on the break time. But maybe because I took the Rav seriously, so my Balabatim took me seriously, and not only did we have these pages, but after a year or two, they said, "Let's make it into something that's more b'chavadik." So, within a year, we published a book of Slichos. Had one of my Talmidim, Steve Ehrenberg, translated the Slichos. So it's actually with the Slichos in Hebrew and in English. I even inserted an extra Slichos that we could skip, because everybody wants to skip something on Yom Nerom. So I have in italics, some communities say this, some don't say this, and people get an extra feeling that we're actually skipping something. And that's why Slichos is something that I believe is, again, close to my heart. And let's see if we can understand it in a deeper way in the time we have with us this morning. Now you have in front of you four sides. If you look quickly at page number 3, at source number 6, so you'll recognize right away that the last two psukim of source number 6 are the introductory psukim to every slicha that we say. We begin by saying Kirachem Ov Al Bonim, Kein Tirachem, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu has Rachmonas and children, so to have Rachmonas and us. And we begin by saying Selach No La'avoyna Mazek Yugoydel Chazdecho V'chasher Nososem Azdemi Mitzroim V'adheino Shom Ne'mar V'yomer Hashem Selachti Kidmerecho. When Moshe says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, forgive this nation with the greatness of your kindness, with the largesse of your kindness, and God says, I forgive them as you said. Now, where did this phrase come from? What was the chait? Chizkein Meragla. Right? This is the sin of the spies. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, establish our people with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu davens and is successful, even though we still suffered. The entire generation was lost. Entry into Israel was delayed. The impact we feel to this day every Tisha B'Av, but a great measure, an enormous measure of success for that tefillah. So why do we begin every slicha with this phrase? Why is that the psicha? Selach no la'avoyinim ezek goyin al-chazdecha. Why do we begin with the chayna meraglim? So let's go back to the source of the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim, and that is source number one. Again, you'll be familiar that source number three is the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim, Posuk Vav and Zayin. Vayered Hashem ba'onon vayisyatsevi moshom yikrov b'shem Hashem, today's lading. And that is the way that we close every section of the Slichos. We begin with Kirachem al-Babonim, we begin with mentioning the Chayna Meraglim. We then ask the Rabbonim for something. Usually it's for the return of the Beis HaMikdash, help for the welfare of Klal Yisrael, help in doing Shuva. And then we close with the recitation of the 13 Midas Rachamim. But those 13 Midas Rachamim we got after which Chet? Chet Egel. Alright? Now, how did this come to be part of our davening? So, when we read the Psukim in source number 3, Vayivsol Shnei Luchos Avonim Kirishonim, Moshe Rabbeinu fashions stones similar to the stones of the first Dibros. Vayeshke Moshe Vaboke Vayal Al Sinai, comes up Har Sinai Kasher Tziva Hashem Oso Vayikach Bidosh Shnei Luchos Avonim, and he takes these two stones up. Vayered Hashem Ba'onon Vayisyatsevi Moshom Vayikrov Hashem Hashem. We now fast forward 40 days. We're on the very first Yom Kippur. God appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in a cloud, Vayavor Hashem al ponom vayikra, and God passes in front of Moshe and says, Hashem, Hashem. Pasuk Ches, Vayemaher Moshe vayikod arzo vayishtoch, and Moshe quickly bows down. How do we understand Vayavor Hashem al ponom vayikra, that God is passing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? Chazal explained to us what happened. An otherwise uninterpretable passage. Moshe is there. God passed in front of Moshe. And God begins to say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Echanan. So Chazal explained to us. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, first source. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Il mole mikro kosuv yivshar lomro. If it would not be a posuk, we could not say what we're about to explain. Milameid shenesatei fakadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur, that God put on a talis and appeared as a chazan, a shliach tzibur. Vehero lola Moshe seder tzvila, and showed Moshe how to daven. Omar lo, he said, kol zaman shi yisrael chotin, whenever Jews sin, yasu lefonai keseder azeh, use this formula and I will forgive them. Hashem, Hashem, Kelirachum Mechanun. And the Gemara concludes, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Bris Kerusa L'Shosh Esrei Mido Sheinon Chozros Reikom, that there Kadosh Baruch Hu was a promise that when we implore God with these 13 attributes, that prayer is somewhat answered in some measure. So that's why it's such an important part of davening. That's why it's an indispensable part of davening. That's why the Rav insisted that it has to be part of Shacharis Minchamah. The only reason it seems that most shuls do not say Slichos during Shacharis Minchamah is because it was dropped from the Machzorim. Because various communities had different slichos. So when Machzorim were published, they could not record slichos because different communities had different slichos. So instead they just put in a note, Kan Omrim Slichos. And that's what happened. Every machzer had a record of Kan Omer M'slichos, and at best, Jews would say Kan Omer M'slichos, but they would never say the Slichos. So it seems to be an accident of printing that to this day, so many shuls don't say Slichos Shachos Minchan Mariv. It becomes, again, something when you read the Gemara, that it's the only prayer that I'm aware of, about which we say Bris Krusa, that we have a deal with the Rabbona Shalola, that saying these midos will yield a successful prayer. So it's a strange thing that we don't say it as often as we can. Now, when we understand, so that's what apparently would happen in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, when God forgave us and gave us the second luchos, He also gave us this tefillah, this prayer. But it's a strange prayer. What's strange about the prayer? What has to be understood about this prayer? But how is it different than other prayers? Well, we don't seem to be asking for anything. God says when you're in trouble, say this. Right? What else strikes us as strange about the prayer? We don't come to God with any specific request. We don't address the issue at hand. What else is unusual about the prayer? Then? Where do I have such a thing as a deal? That a prayer gets answered, and the depth of the question is that, right, it seems to be that somehow it'll be successful. Right, that's an unusual. But the prayer seems to be a formula. And how should a formula work? Now it's true that much of our davening has become formulas that Chazal have put together for us. But in every formula is always room for me to have something specific in mind. Our davening is all formulas, but when we say Shema Koleinu, we have in mind certain things that we want God to listen to. When we say Rifa'enu, we have very specific cholim in mind. What over here, it sounds like it's a magic formula, like an incantation. Something very foreign to our concept of prayer. Our concept of prayer is the person gets elevated when he prays. Our concept of prayer is God is open to hearing what's on our minds. But here we have what sounds like a formula, an incantation. That's something that seems to be foreign. So that's what we have to understand exactly how we're supposed to say this particular form of davening. Is anybody aware of some answers to this question? How does this prayer work? Okay, so there is a very, very popular answer. Well, let me explain what you're saying, and it's a very popular answer. The first time that I saw this answer recorded, it was recorded by Rav Nachman Kasher. Rav Nachman Kasher, one of the great minds of Yerushalayim in the 20th century. He was an anthologic mind, a genius. He is responsible for the series of Svarim called the Torah Shleima, where he records, he collects midrashim from all over the place and appends them to various psukim. So in modern times, it would not be a great feat. It'd be a search on the Bar Ilan responsive, but this was done well before anybody could have over their computers. So this is the genius of a mind that was able to somehow contain the vast repository of rabbinic sources and call them to mind out of every pasuk and then record them. So he points out that if you look at the text that we just read, the third line, calls the manchi Yisrael chotin, whenever Jews sin, yasu lefanai keseder azeh, they should do the following. So he suggests there's not a prayer. He suggests that what God is saying to us, that if we are compassionate like God is compassionate, that if we are concerned and if we are patient the way God is patient, so and we elevate ourselves, so that's when God was responsive to our prayers. And it's a very attractive answer. However, in my humble opinion, it's not what Chazal had in mind, and certainly not the way that most commentaries see it. And again, if you look at the text, it does not seem to be something that's encouraging a certain behavior. It seems to be a prayer. Let's read it again. That God became a representative of the tzibur. I often point out to our Baalei Tefillah and Yomim Neiroim that Yomim Neiroim is the only time when the Baal Tefillah actually represents the community. Usually a Shliach Tzibur synchronizes the community. Usually a Shliach Tzibur inspires the community. Shliach Tzibur may help us fulfill our obligations through the tool of Shomea Kaona. He says something, it's as if I say something. But the only time that we have that the Shliach Tzibur actually represents the community is in Yom Neiroim. Hin in the Yoni Mimas, Nirish and Nifchad. So there, the Shliach Tzibur is asking God to allow him to represent and speak on our behalf. When you have Ochila Lakeel, Achal Avonu, the Oda Marchilev, Lashem Man Eloshen, the Chazan is talking in our behalf. That's why when it comes to Yom Neiroim, so shuls are so selective in who becomes the Baal Tefillah. Because that's the only time when the Tzibur, to some extent, I wouldn't say abdicate, but almost hands over, gives almost like a power of attorney to the Chazan. And it probably comes from this selection. This is probably the first time we have in our sources that we have a Shliach Tzibur of this sort. It's possible that one other case, Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the Melchemes Amalek, but not as clear as over here. Nisate v'kadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur, he puts on a talis. Where is a talis over his head? I ask the Baalei Tefillah on Yom Neiroim that even if their own practice is not to put the talis over their head, Yom Neiroim to follow God's direction and to put the talis over their head. I share with them an insight of Rabbi Mital Zatzal. He said that the tool of putting the talis over one's head for a chazan is it allows him to see himself with the Rabbon Shalom. He's allowed, he represents the tzibur. But by having the talis overhead, I'll use my words, not his words, but he doesn't allow himself to be driven by the tzibur. He doesn't allow himself to be bothered by the people behind him who may be checking their watches, looking at the clock. So the talis over his head reminds him he has this sacred obligation of talking to the Rabbon Shalom. And sometimes representing the tzibur even in a better fashion than they would want. But it says, Vehera lo Moshe seder tzvila. He showed them the way to daven. Seder tzvila. Rav David Cohen in Brooklyn suggested that's why our slichos have a seder tzvila. We begin with Ashrei. We say a chatzi kaddish. Then we say our slichos. Then we complete with a kaddish. It has to be a nusach tefillah. But again, the question that we're raising is, how was this a prayer and not an incantation? How would we understand it and give it meaningfulness and say it without it seeming to be sort of a magic bullet? So I believe that the mafteach, the key to understanding the Slichos, is a passage of the Ramban. So if you look at source number 7, the Ramban is addressing Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer to God after the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, after the Chet HaEgel. God at this point says he's done with Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, now it's time. I have a special prayer I received in Yom Kippur after the Chet HaEgel. Now it's time to use that prayer. And if you look at source number 6, Pasuk Yud Ches, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer, Hashem, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed, Nosi Ovon V'Fesha V'Nakei Lo Yinakei, Poked Avon Ovos Al Bonim Ashlishim V'Al Yubiyim. What is striking about that passage? Right, what else? Right, what else? I'm sorry? There's so much missing. He says Hashem only once. Right? He doesn't say Emes. He doesn't say Bechator. He doesn't say Notze Chesed Alofim. So, again, if this was me, it would mean that I didn't take notes and I was trying to remember what God told me, and I'm doing my best to let us sit on Machzer. But it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He certainly remembers the 13 minutes of Rachamim. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu use the prayer but not use the prayer? So the Ramban addresses this, and I believe by doing so opens up our understanding of this passage. So let's look at the Ramban, source number 7, second paragraph, second line. V'izkir b'midos erech apayim v'rav chesed. He does mention the midah of patience. He does mention Rav Chesed, that God's kindness means that he's willing to forgive. The Gemara says he's willing to forgive first sins and second sins. V'lo yizkir emes. He doesn't mention the midah of truth. Ki v'midah so emes yuchayavim. Because when he mentioned emes, that would incriminate the Jewish people. It becomes clearer. Lay his kir not sachesed alofim. There's a midah of God's compassion that God watches over and maintains the kindness that he owes for thousands of years. He will repay kindness years later. And that could mean that God will pay the kindness that he owes to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov at a later time. But Moshe does not invoke Notzer Chesed Alofim. Ki lo bizchus ovos nispalel Moshe Achshav. Because Moshe did not want to invoke the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'lo yizkir b'tfil azos. And when he prays, he doesn't mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov klal. V'atam. And the reason for that, Bavur Sha'oritz Nitno La'avos Umehem Yeshua, that the land of Israel comes to us via Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are the heirs of Israel through them. Veheim Mordim Ba'avosam V'lohayu Chafetzim B'matona Shalohem Asher O'ovos Ayu Borchim B'ma'od. That because the Chet HaMeraglim was when the Jewish people rebelled against this gift that we got from the Avos and something which they passionately wanted. So let's look at this for a moment. Moshe Rabbeinu has a formula. But it's not a formula. Because he has to be very selective what he uses. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't say Notzer Chesed Alofim. Because that means that I'm asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember the commitment of the Avos. And in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind, the Ramban says, that if now the Jews, as we rebelled against the gift of Eretz Yisrael, we rejected the gift of Eretz Yisrael, we rebelled against were the ovos so much wanted. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Worried, aren't these the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Because that's a mekatrek. That will work against us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could easily say, how could I extend to them the kindness for the ovos? They're not acting like the children. The ovos would do anything to get into Eretz Yisrael. And they don't want it. So, if Moshe Rabbeinu would say, remember the ovos, he's digging himself in deeper rather than helping us out. But that one line of the Ramban, that one insight of the Ramban, is what shows us that the 13 midos rachamim are not a formula. They're not an incantation. There's something that was given to the tray that's given, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided which ones he could and which he couldn't include. He couldn't say MS. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would say MS, now in Ramban's thinking, MS is a form of compassion and kindness. Otherwise, it doesn't belong in the 13 midos rachamim. MS means we owe everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. MS is the greatest form of compassion. The Ramban explains back in Parshas Chayisara. Ramban says that the idea of MS is if we look at things honestly, if we look at things without any bias, then it will come to the understanding that we owe everything we have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the MS. And therefore, when we refer to the greatest compassion is that we owe everything to Him. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would say MS, that means that he would again be mekatreg. We're not acting like people who realize we owe everything to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're in the midbar. Obviously, we owe everything to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We owe our food, our water. So to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are the source of all kindness and goodness, when the people should be experiencing that and acting accordingly, will only dig us in deeper and not help us out. But if we stop for a moment and move back from the Ramban and from the specific observation of what he's saying, then we come to a very important understanding of the 13 midos rachamim. That the 13 midos rachamim are somehow applying the specific midos at any given time. So that's the first thing we see from the Ramban. It's not magic. It's not an incantation. It's a prayer that has to be used judiciously. We don't have the ability to be judicious about the prayer, so we say them all. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's insight when to refer to a certain midah and not to refer to a certain midah. But now, let's try to understand this a little bit deeper. Now that we've dispelled the idea that it's not magic, it's not an incantation, it is a prayer. Let's try to understand a little bit deeper what exactly and how we're supposed to use them. So Ramban had another observation. It was the observation that he did not even mention Zchus Avos. So now let's quickly compare source 8 to source 9. Source 8 is Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer after the Chetah Egel. Source 9 is Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer after the Chetah Meraglim. You see, there were two parts of the prayer after the Chetah Meraglim. There was an articulate prayer and then the 13 midos rachamim. The articulate prayer are sources 8 and 9. Let's quickly compare them. Source 8, after the Chetah Egel, Vayechal Moshe Davins, and he says, Loma Hashem Yecher Apchem Amecha Asher Ritzesa Me'eret Mitzrayim B'Koyach Gadol U'B'Yod Chazoka. Argument number one, why get angry at these people that you took out of Mitzrayim with great strength? At first glance, it is a terrible prayer. Why get angry at them? They just built an idol. Right? So how do we understand this? What is his argument? What's argument number one? Argument number two, Loma Yom Mitzrayim, why should the Egyptians say Biroitziyom, God took us out with evil intent, La Rogosum to kill them in the mountains, La Chalosum to destroy them, Mialpnei Adomo, Shuv Mecharena Pecha, Hinochem al Roli Amecha. Third argument, Zachor li Avram, remember Avram, Yitzchak and Yisrael, Avadecha, Avitzchak and Yaakov, that you promised them and you spoke to them, Arbez Arachom of many children, like the stars in heaven. What are the three arguments that ultimately won God's change of heart? Minochem Hashem Lera. Loma Yechra Abcha, Loma Yomer Mitzrayim, Zachor Lavrum Zayakov. Three arguments. What are the arguments? Go ahead. Good. What do we call that argument? Argument of? What's that? No. That's the third argument. Second argument. Good. What's that called? What's that? Chil Hashem. Right? In other words, the second argument. Sorry? Right. The second argument is this will be a Chilul Hashem. God, it'll look like people will say. Loma Yomer Mitzrayim. Why should we let the Egyptians say God never intended to take us to Israel? He always intended to destroy us. Chil Hashem. The other argument, Zechor Avraham, is Zechus Avos, right? Zechut Avot, in the merit of the forefathers. What's the first argument? Loma Yechor Apcha Asher Oitzesomi Eretz Mitzrayim V'Koyach Godol B'Yon Chazaka. Was that? Right, and you've made an investment. So three arguments. Argument number one, you made an investment. Make your investment good. Why have a wasted investment? Argument number two, Chil Hashem. Argument number three, Zechus Avos. Now let's look at the Chet Hameraglim. Vayomer Moshe Hashem. Vishomu Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will hear, Ki Elisa B'chechachos HaMazemi Kirbo, that you... You took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, the Omer El Yosheva Oretzazos, and they will say to the indigent nations of Israel, Ki ato Hashem v'kerem amazeh, that you God, who's clearly in these people, Asher ayin v'ayin nira ato Hashem v'anon chomir aleim v'amud onon ato ilich lefneichem yomom v'amud eish loyla, clearly you're accompanying these people, you have the pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire. They matas ha'amazen, you'll destroy them. Ki ish echad, as one night, as one person. Va'omar ha'goyim asher shomu shemachu leimor mi bilti yecholes Hashem. God could not bring them into the nation of Israel. Asher nishbalem ishchatein ba'midbar. Which argument is that? Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem. Pasna, the first pasuk, Ki Elisa b'chochacha amazem mikirbo. What argument is that? Investment. What's clearly missing? Zechus Avos. Alright? Zechut Avos. So that's what the Ramban said in the third last line below. Hizkir b'tzvila azos yarvo mitzuk b'yakub klal. He didn't mention it at all. Alright? So now, Ramban's pointing out to us. When you compare the articulate prayers of Moshe, three prayers. Number one, investment. Number two, Chil Hashem. Number three, Zechus Avos. When he davened on behalf of the Meraglim, he mentions investment, he mentions Chil Hashem, he drops Zechus Avos. Why does he drop Zechus Avos? Because that will just make things harder for us. Because we're not keeping the Avos in mind. All right, now. So now the Ramban says, let's make the following jump. Ramban says that because he could not mention Zechus Avos, therefore he could not mention, what phrase? Noter chesed la'alofim. So that means that the 13 midos rachamim are a different way of phrasing the articulate prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, Once you see this Ramban, so first of all, you appreciate that the 13 Midas HaRachamim are a real prayer that have to be meaningful for that particular time. That Moshe Rabbeinu was judicious in the way he used them. And that's why we open up every single time we use this prayer. We first start, as I pointed out half an hour ago, we begin by saying, Selach no la'oman avzeku eloch hazdecha. We refer back to the time when the prayer was used and used successfully. That's to give us chizuk. We're about to begin with a prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu used this prayer successfully. The bris that God established was there. And it also gives us insight into what this prayer means. Next, the Ramban says that if you look carefully at the two prayers of Moshe, the articulate prayer, the arguments of Moshe, after Chet HaEgel and after Chet HaMeraglim, they are so similar and so blatantly different, right? What are they blatantly different? He skips Sechus Avos. He could not say Sechus Avos. It would not be a good argument. And therefore, he could not say Notzer Chesed Alofim. So now we learn that the 13 Midas HaRachamim are a different way of phrasing the articulate prayers that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to offer. And we should understand for ourselves that the 13 Midas HaRachamim are a different way of phrasing the prayers that are in our hearts. So we have one more step, and that is to understand how do the 13 Midas HaRachamim, how do they rephrase the articulate prayers? Go ahead. A bit louder, please. So that's a good defense of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, but maybe it's more incriminating the Jewish people with the Chen Meraglim. But that argument does not seem to be one that Moshe Rabbeinu employs. So it's not going to help us understand the 13 Midas HaRachamim. Right, so let's take one more step, and that is that now that we understand that the 13 Midas HaRachamim are a rephrasing of the articulate prayers that we have, so how do we use the 13 Midas HaRachamim? How are they an articulation? How do the 13 Midas HaRachamim articulate the prayers that are going on? So for example, the one thing we know, let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is similar is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that it will be a great Chil Hashem. It will not look good for God. Another way of saying that is that people will never come to know the compassion of God. People will never come to know the Rav Chesed of God. Alternatively, if God does forgive His people, then people will come to know that he's a Rav Chesed, that he's a Nosei Avon Mefesha. What Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing is, instead of saying it could create a terrible Chilul Hashem, look at the Kiddush Hashem that we could accomplish. That if a Kiddush Baruch Hu was able to somehow allow the repair after the Chet HaEgel Chen HaMeraglim, then we will forever appreciate Hashem. Hashem, He's the God of compassion, Erech Apayim, He's a patient God, Rav Chesed, He lets things go, and those say, Ovin Afero Pesh. So our argument to the 13 Midas HaRachamim is that through responding to our prayers, we will be able to give greater expression to certain attributes of God. Moshe Rabbeinu did not invoke the attribute of God of Notzer Chesed Alofim because that would incriminate us. But every midah that would not incriminate, he employs. Now, let's bring this very much close to home because we can understand this very well through a comment of the Vilna Gaon and Reb Chaim Volozhiner. For the sake of time, instead of reading it together, let me summarize. Something that you probably thought of over the course of Rosh Hashanah. What is one of the sources of great frustration in davening in Rosh Hashanah? What is one of the things that we would want to be able to do? Was that? With no sense of vidui, correct? No tshuva, has to be done before. What else? Correct. So that's the answer to which question? Was that? The role of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlich Hashem. Alright? Now, that is the answer to which question? When we've learned the role of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlich Hashem, that was an answer to which question? Was that? No? Why don't we, and why? If the Yom HaDin, why we don't have opportunity to make our request? We can make our request. There are some Rabbanim who say you can't make any request of Rosh Hashanah. There are some who say you can make your request at the end of davening. But the only time you really make a request of Rosh Hashanah is when you say Sav'enu mituvecha, Samcheinu bishuasecha, Senchalkeinu b'sarvasecha. Otherwise, so the answer that we appreciate is because the role of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlich Hashem. So Chaim Volozhiner says, Chaim Volozhiner was the founder of the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and the founder of the Yeshiva movement as we know it. Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And he really says as a response to something which the Vilna Gaon writes. He says that davening the entire year round is based on the davening of Rosh Hashanah. And if you understand the davening of Rosh Hashanah, you'll have a great insight into every time we daven. Says that every time we daven, we are continuously invoking the Malchus of Hashem. Right? Every time we daven, this morning we daven, we asked for Kadosh Baruch Hu should give a refuah to those who are ill. So we said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofei Cholei, Amo Yisrael. Right? We asked the Rabbonu Shel Olam for Parnasa. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bivarech Hashonim. Every time that we ask for something, we stop for a moment and we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who will provide this. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says what we're doing is every single time that we ask, we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we understand that if we are going to receive a refuah, it's because of you. And we will appreciate it as coming from you and attribute it to you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if we get Parnasa, we'll appreciate your providing us with the parnasa. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that's what we do in Rosh Hashanah, and that is the source of our prayer. In Rosh Hashanah, what does it mean that we are mamlech l'Ribono Shel Olam? It means we announce, we appreciate, we understand anything that we have comes from Ribono Shel Olam. Anything that we will have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the sharpest way to appreciate this insight is through a comment that Rav Chaim Freelander has, who's with Mashgiach in Ponovich. He says that the Gemara says on Sukkos, bring water to the Beis HaMikdash in order that I'll bless your water. On Pesach, bring wheat, Beis HaMikdash, the Omer, in order that I'll bless your wheat. On Rosh Hashanah, be mamlich, announce my monarchy, kidei shetamlichuni aleich. So a Freelander says, at first glance, they don't match. When we pray, when Gemara says, bring water so God will bless the water, what's the connection? Bring water, bring wheat, so God will bless the wheat. How does it work though? In other words, if I serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with water, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I can ask for more water. If I say the Ribbono Shel Olam, I can use your water to serve you, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with water. That was the insight. So Rav Chaim Freelander says, and that's what we're saying in Rosh Hashanah, by being Mamlech Hashem, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we appreciate whatever we have, whatever successes we have, whatever happens coming from you. And therefore, if we are successful, and if we will have a year with greater blessing, with good health, we will come back and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided this good health, we will use that good health to serve you. We will recognize, use the provider of good health. That's how we are Mamlech Hashem, and that's how that's the most profound prayer of all. Rav Chaim Freelander says, around Rosh Hashanah, we're making many requests. We're just doing it in a global way. We're saying, I can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with any bracha you give me. That's being Mamlech Kadosh Baruch Hu. Recognizing his Meluch. And then Rav Chaim says, and every single time we daven, we're doing the same thing. Rafa'einu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i, ki silaseinu ata. Please cure our ill, because we will praise you. Because we will recognize that you're the one who's providing health. Because if Kadosh Baruch Hu provides a cure, then forever on we'll say we had fantastic doctors in a great hospital, but the Baruch Hu was the one who sent the Yeshua. So it'll become a way of being Mamlech Hashem. It'll become a way of recognizing his monarchy, his sovereignty. So every time we pray, it's a little Rosh Hashanah. We've learned from Rosh Hashanah the best kind of prayer. And what I'm suggesting is that God really taught this to us in the 13 Midos HaRachamim. What God was saying is that we can always turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, if you have compassion, we will always recognize you had compassion. We will always go forward and say, after the Cheder Egel, after what we did, after the Cheder Rangs, what we did, we didn't deserve. But God is a compassionate God. He's a Rachma. He's concerned for us. He wants to keep the promise to the Ovos. We can be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And this prayer of the 13 Midas HaRachamim becomes a universal prayer, because there are times when we can announce that if Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us out, then we will always recognize He provided the cure, the therapy. There are times when we'll be able to say, I was out of work, Kadosh Baruch Hu and Rachmanos, He provided somehow He got me a job, He got me parnas, He also took care of me. But then there's a more global way. It applies to everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanos had compassion on. It was b'siyata d'shmaya. It was with God's great grace. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. This, the global prayer of Klal Yisrael is Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Achana. And I think that that's what we're saying when we say the 13 Midas HaRachamim. We're having in mind that there are things that we need. There are so many prayers and requests for ourselves and for the people around us. And the articulate prayer is that this could be a great Kiddush Hashem. And we will be Mekadesh Hashem when the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides us, and we will use them to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's look at one more source that ties all this together, and then we'll summarize and see if there are any questions. If you look at source number 5, Cheder Egel, what he said right now will bring this Rashi to life. Vayomer ani aviris kol tuvi, I will show all of my attributes, all my good, compassionate attributes. Higi Yashar, the time has come. Shetireh bechvodim she'erche oschol eros, that you will see what I'm allowing you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to see. Lefish ani rotzeh v'tzarech l'lamedcha seder tefillah, because I want and I need to teach you a form of davening. Shekishenitzrachtu levakeish rachamim al Yisrael, that when you need to ask for Rachmanos in the Jewish people, it's Kartolis Chus Avos. You've mentioned that you have Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they have Zechuyos, they have merits, they still have merits in the bank, so to speak. You might think that if you cannot invoke this chus avos, you're done, nothing's left. Then I will show you the limitless compassion that God can have, and you'll be watching this. And apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that there was going to be a time in his lifetime and he will not be able to invoke Zechus Avos Zechut Avot. And that was the Chena Meraglim. And that's what Hashem was saying to him. There'll be a time you will not be able to turn to say, help out these people because you've promised something to the Avos. But he had a form of prayer nevertheless. And at that time Moshe understood how he can use the Midos HaRachamim in prayer for Hashem. So what have we suggested? We said that we begin that the core of the Slichos prayer are the 13 Midos HaRachamim. We begin, the introductory paragraph is that we remember the time that they worked. The time that Moshe Rabbeinu invoked this prayer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it, and despite the Chena Meraglim, we still made it to Israel. We didn't make it to Israel in the way that we had originally envisioned. It was a different generation, but we made it to Israel. We were able to land in our homeland. And it was this prayer that made it happen. And then we remind ourselves but it wasn't simply an incantation. It wasn't simply the repetition of 15 minutes of Rachamim. It wasn't magic. It was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there are things that I need right now, and if you will respond to me, then we will forever, our children will forever know Hashem, Hashem, Kelachum Machanun. They will forever know that the Rabbeinu Shalom's compassion is with them. They will forever understand the greater part of God, and they will forever be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. This then became the primary mode of prayer. It became the mode of prayer for Rosh Hashanah when we are Mamlech Hashem, and in effect, what are we saying? We're saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we appreciate everything in this world comes from you, and therefore, whatever bracha we managed to procure from you, we will always recognize it comes from you. And by doing so, we will give greater kavod to Hashem with Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us there are specific ways in which it happens. We say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you give me insight, I will forever remember Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonein Ados, the insight comes from you. And if Kadosh Baruch Hu provides us with, he answers our prayers, Shomeya Tfila. And then there's an even more powerful way to say it. And say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, understand that what I'm asking for, I don't deserve. But you have limitless compassion and limitless rahmanas. And I will forever be able to turn back and say, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu's rahmanas. This was his chesed. This is Erech Apayim. And by doing so, we will be megala, we will reveal more of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And by doing so, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if this is the way that we see prayer, then it is a bris, it is a covenant that Kadosh Baruch Hu has with us, that this kind of prayer will always be answered. It gives us insight into slichos, insight into prayer, and becomes a tremendous responsibility. That as we go forward, they were always fully recognizing the prayers that get answered come Zchus Avos, come because of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to answer our prayers. And Be'ez Hashem bless us all with a year that we will continuously be appreciative of His chesed, His rachmanus, continuously share that with other people, and then continuously benefit from the Ribbono Shel Olam's brachos, Shemale Hashem Shalos Libeinu L'Tovah.